Okay, just going to read a few verses, four in fact, I think, or it might be six. There we are, in Philippians chapter 4, and starting at verse 4, and you can probably see exactly why I chose that song to start with. So Philippians chapter 4, and starting at verse 4, and these are words that Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, and he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness or gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Well, we'll leave it there and trust that God will bless that word to us. And just going to bring a few thoughts about that passage this morning. As I say, Martin asked me a few weeks ago if I would take the service last week, because obviously Tom had a holiday Sunday, and Colin spoke last Sunday morning, but he wasn't able to be here in the evening. And I said yes, so blame him. But it's not something that I prepared fresh for this. It's something I actually prepared a few months ago to take to the to Hoseley. I mean, I have refreshed it, so don't think I've just sort of pulled it off without looking at it again. But it's quite remarkable, because the notes I made here are as relevant now as they were 3 or 4 months ago, and you'll see what I mean in a moment. But the title I've given it is Being Positive. Right, to rejoice, the dictionary definition of rejoice is to feel or express joy or happiness. And it's good, isn't it, when we come to praise God together, we can express our happiness and our joy in song, in prayer, in talking to each other. It's hopefully being happy and joyful. We know what it is to be joyful, don't we? Which was what I'm hopefully going to leave with you tonight. But you might be saying, or you might think, and certainly be justified in doing so, what is there to rejoice about at the moment? When you think, and again, this is first prepared back in March, April time, the war in Ukraine. I mean, it's still ongoing, isn't it? The rising cost of fuel, gas and oil, that's still happening, isn't it? A government that was in turmoil, and I think we'll agree still is in turmoil. Every time we turn the TV news on, it just seems to be full of bad news, doesn't it? Yeah, I can see lots of nodding heads. That's what it's like, isn't it? But, you know, things weren't a lot better for Paul when he wrote this letter in the first century AD. The times that he was living in weren't great. Certainly not for Christians, and not even for Jews, because Israel was under Roman occupation, and there was enmity between Jews and Greeks. Christians were being persecuted. I mean, Paul knew about that because he was initially one of the instigators of that persecution, wasn't he? But Paul writes to these early Christians that they should rejoice. In fact, he emphasizes it by stating it twice in that first verse we read. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." So doubly he's emphasizing the fact that they need to be joyful. They need to be expressing joy and happiness. But I think the key to what Paul is saying there is the phrase which comes between the first and the second rejoice. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord." Or rejoice. And again, I will say rejoice. We can have joy and know joy, not because of our personal circumstances, although sometimes we are very happy because of, you know, Brenda and I were very happy a couple of weeks ago because we were on holiday. You know, we had laying in a on a sunbed in, yeah, lovely. And yeah, we'll leave it there. But there is that joy, isn't it? But that's temporary joy. And we can all know temporary joys. You know, when Isaac repeats one of my jokes that I've told him, it gives me real joy that because, you know, it's just brilliant. But that's not what Paul's talking about. Rejoicing in the Lord, if we have a personal relationship with God, and I trust that as I speak to you tonight, most of us, all of us possibly do have a personal relationship with God through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus. In other words, if we're born again, trusting in his shed blood to take away our sin, then we can or should be able to rejoice. The song we just sung, rejoice, the Lord is risen. We worship not just a name, not just an idol, not a picture. We worship a living, risen Savior. Rejoice, the Lord is risen. Surely that's the root of what our rejoicing should be. We're going to be thinking in a few moments when we take the communion. We're going to be remembering that the Lord Jesus laid down his life to pay the penalty for our sins so that we could be and can be forgiven. But we rejoice because although he died, he rose again. Rejoice, the Lord is risen. He's overcome sin and death. Now, our rejoicing doesn't mean walking around with a permanent grin on our faces because, be honest, we don't always feel like rejoicing. You know, it is difficult sometimes, and in spite of what Paul is saying, the cares of the world and our personal circumstances do cause us not to be able to rejoice always. But joy and knowing real joy is one part of the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul lists in Galatians 5 and verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruits, the outward signs that we should display because we're born again of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit, if we're believing in Jesus, his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, lives in us. And our the way that we live, the fruit that we bear, should demonstrate that. And that is the second on the list after love. Love, joy. So why is Paul able to make such a statement? In verse 5, he goes on and says, let your reasonableness, I prefer gentleness, which is in the footnote. Let your gentleness be known to all. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. In other words, the Lord is near. He's always with us if we're trusting him. In him, he's promised never to leave us nor forsake us. We might not always feel his presence, but it doesn't depend on our feelings. It's a promise that God is always with us. So we should be able to know joy, a freedom from worrying, because the Lord is with us. The Lord is near. He's always with us. And Paul then goes on in verse 6 and says, do not be anxious about anything. Often it's very easy to be anxious, isn't it? And might be so. I know there's one or two here tonight who are anxious about things coming up in the coming week and things that have happened recently. But Paul says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So we're told not to be anxious for anything, especially things over which we have no control, but instead to pray and let our requests be made known to God. And there's a promise that goes with that as well, because in the next verse he writes, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I know it's very easy to say and it's very easy to read these words, but that is the reality. And that's what we're encouraged to do, to bring our anxieties, our fears to God and leave them with Him. And He promises to give us peace. The peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, we acknowledge, accept that we do get anxious and there are things to worry about. But the second part of our reading, Paul is encouraging us to think about positive things. Instead of worrying about negative things, things I mentioned earlier, you know, wars, rising cost of living, our government, etc., etc. Instead of focusing on those, Paul encourages us in verses 8 and 9 to focus on things that are true. And again, I've just got a few dictionary definitions for these words, but things that are true, things that are genuine, that conform to a standard. Whatever is honourable, in other words, characterised by high principles, worthy of esteem. Whatever is just, that is fair, conforming to high moral standards. Whatever is pure, clean and wholesome. Whatever is lovely, attractive, pleasing, inspiring love. And whatever is commendable, worthy of regard. He said, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So instead of dwelling on negative things and letting them drag us down, Paul encourages us to think about positive things, things that are true, honourable, just, pure, lovely, commendable. Think about the Lord Jesus. He epitomises all of those, doesn't he? So that's, I believe, what Paul is encouraging us to do. As I say, the world in which we live isn't hugely different as a Christian for the world in which Paul lived. He faced similar problems to what we do. And so we should meditate on these things. We should put into practice the things we have learned and received from Scripture. In verse 9 says, Paul says, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So don't let what we hear on the news get us down. Trust that God is in control. However difficult that might be to believe or understand, we need to rejoice and pray. And then just as a final footnote, Psalm 37, verse 4. And this is one of David's psalms. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So the key there is to delight ourselves in the Lord. Not to get bogged down with our worldly cares and worries, things that we can't control, but to delight ourselves in the Lord, and then He will give us the things that we desire, because the things that we desire will be in keeping with His will and His purposes. But above all, let's rejoice, let's be happy, and encourage each other as well to do so.